Good morning. The reading this morning is from Psalm 1, which you can find on your service sheet or will come up on the screen. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. And it'd be great if you had Psalm 1 open, maybe in your own Bible or from the service sheet. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to use the words that we're going to sing right at the end. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak. Please speak, O Lord, as we come to your word. Renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how are you doing? Let me ask you, are you struggling? Or are you encouraged? Are you worried or full of joy? Are you struggling with loneliness? Or maybe guilt? Maybe this past week you're discouraged again by habitual sin. Are you anxious about money, job, move? Relationships, children, school. What challenging days these continue to be. Now, of course, there's August to come. There'll be lots of sun. Well, maybe not. Maybe a bit of holiday. Well, maybe not. And what happens about church? Maybe you're frustrated that we're not meeting together. You know of another church that's meeting together, but in a very, very, very different way. There is the prospect of a couple of services, as Dave has outlined, in September to start with. Just 14 households, and a household maybe one person meeting together. And if you come, you'll be wearing masks. If that happens, now, let me say that when I heard that we had to wear masks, I personally was really depressed and discouraged. Why can't life be normal? But what is normal? I was thinking this week that my parents lived through a world war that lasted nearly 6 years. But this week, God wants you and I to be blessed. Just look with me and listen to the picture that's given in verse 3 of Psalm 1. Here's the description of the righteous person blessed by God. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Don't we all want to be like that? Even when there are so many challenges and difficulties and trials, Maybe, let me say, you are thinking about what life is like. Maybe you're listening online. You're not connected with us before, or maybe have come online once or twice. The French magazine Paris Match reports that French young people are partying. They think, quote, that it is better to live a short and intense life than a long and boring one. And I think that's probably the same in this country. Certainly that's my experience of the young guys at the cricket club. Let's eat, drink and party, for tomorrow we die. I think there's also a bit of a sense, let's let the oldies die. Now, at the same time, it's interesting that sales of the Bible have increased significantly. So people privately are asking questions. What is true life? And this psalm will tell us how knowing the one true God will give real life, real spiritual stability and life, and how to have a life that is fruitful and prosperous. And it is all based on how we respond to God's word. So let's listen carefully to what is here. So through August, we're looking at just the first four psalms. And I love Dale Ralph Davis, who has a great little commentary on these psalms. And the title of that commentary is The Way of the Righteous in the Muck of Life. I love that. See, God wants you to be blessed this week in all the muck of life. And there's a lot of muck around at the moment. So look at verse one of Psalm one. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, Psalms 1 and 2 are the introduction to this book of Psalms, all 150 of them. Psalm 1 starts with blessing for the believer. Psalm 2 ends with blessing. I put down on the sheet verse 12 of Psalm 2, and I'll just read it out. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Blessed are all who take refuge in the Son, God's chosen king, who wins a great victory over all his enemies, who rule forever and can give life. We'll look at that next week. But in him, you believer will be blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed? Well, as some of you may know, some Bibles translate these first words, happy is the man. But to be blessed, I think, is much more than happiness. The problem with translating this as happy is that people think this is just about my kind of subjective feelings. This is all about how I feel. And I think to be happy might convey kind of a smile on my face. To be blessed here means to be under God's gracious favor objectively, but objective blessing that is enjoyed subjectively in my experience, if I could put it that way. This blessing is enjoying now that you know God, you know his love, you belong to him, whatever the muck of life. And right through, there's a clear contrast, as Anna picked up so brilliantly. To be righteous means that you trust God and you follow his word. To be unrighteous, called the wicked, the sinner, means you don't trust God and his word. So firstly, the blessing for the righteous person who believes and listens to and follows God's word. So verse one explains this negatively. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, let me say, this isn't saying that if we're believers, we shut ourselves away from those who don't believe. We don't go in a monastery. Jesus said that his followers were to be in the world, but not of the world. You see, this is talking about what input and influence the unbeliever and the unbelieving world has on our lives. So to walk in their counsel means to begin to take on board their thinking against God and against his word. And blessing for the righteous person means not standing in the way of sinners. The way of sinners suggests the believer starts to act and behave in a way that is disobedient to God and his word. To believe and act. And if you do that long enough, or that becomes kind of consistent, you can begin to sit, look at this last phrase, in the seat of mockers. The kind of a progression in this, isn't there? A walk, a stand, a sit. You may know someone who is a scoffer in your family or at work or at school, and they mock or scoff at God and his word, and maybe you as a Christian. And here is the warning against belonging to that group by thinking and acting against God and his word and beginning to take on board all of that, and you become a scoffer yourself. Some of you may know the Phillips Bible. There's a verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which Phillips translates, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold." Beautiful way of, you know, the world, the unbelieving world, is trying to squeeze you into its mold, its way of thinking and actions. The blessing for the righteous person, the person who trusts God and follows his word, does not come by being squeezed into what the world wants. See, here is the negative. That is the negative. Now, verse 2 describes the positive, that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So blessing comes as the believer listens to and believes and follows God's word. And God's word shapes and controls everything the believer and the church does together. So the psalmist talks here about, look, delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on that law. So let me just say, this is not just about the Ten Commandments. I bet some people think, oh, the law, ah, the do's and don'ts of the Ten Commandments. You see, it's not just saying we should meditate day and night on thou shalt not commit adultery. Because, of course, the law of the Lord is the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It's all about the God who creates and who makes promises to bless. It's about God revealing himself as the Lord, his personal name, the Lord who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. It's about the Lord who, Yahweh, who saves and frees his people from slavery, who wins great victories for them, who provides for them in every way, who leads them and guides them, and who shows them how to live to please him. See what richness there is just in those first five books of the Bible. That's what the psalmist is talking about. So it's not just kind of do's and don'ts. It's the fact that God is gracious and loving. Why wouldn't you want to meditate on that? And of course, meditation here is not the emptying of your mind. This isn't Eastern meditation, the emptying of your mind and kind of an attempt to get to nothingness, if you like. But it's actually filling your mind and heart with God's word. I like to think about Bible meditation like sucking your favorite sweetie. I don't know what your favorite sweetie is. Imagine God's word like a sweetie. And you suck the sweetie. And you enjoy its taste. Its sweetness lingers long in your mouth. Suck it. Get as much sweetness out of it Now, let me say, of course, that picture breaks down, and there may be parents who put their head in their hands. You shouldn't suck on too many sweeties, literal sweeties every day. But of course, God's word can only bring us life and prosperity and stability. And you see, how much Bible input should we have? Look at that. The psalmist says, this righteous person, this believer, meditates day and night, more than daily. And in verse 3, this blessing on the righteous person is described. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose life does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So picture the dry, arid land of Israel. And there is a tree planted by streams of living water. So this righteous person has stability. The tree is planted. This person has life and vitality. There are streams of living water constantly flowing. This person is productive for God. It gives fruit. This person is durable, doesn't wither. And whatever he or she does prospers. So I think the sense of prosperity there is the sense that we are the people that God wants us to be. So do you want to know God's blessing? Well, let me ask you, how is your attitude to God's word and your input of God's word? All that blessing comes to the righteous person who listens to and believes and follows God's word. But then there is a very strong and dramatic contrast. Not so the wicked. And the wicked there and the sinner there is shorthand for the unbeliever. So secondly, the judgment for the sinner who does not believe and follow God's word. Not so the wicked. Here is a very strong contrast. And they look, verse 4, are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Those little bits of husk on the outside of the seed. Little bits of dead bits of plant, we may say. And the wind comes and sweeps them away. And the chaff is dead and lifeless and useless. And the wind comes along and is blown away, gone forever. That's a picture of the person who does not listen to and believe and follow God's word in this life, but also on the day of judgment. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. See, the unbeliever will be lost for all eternity and will be all alone for eternity. I only noticed this week, but you see, there's going to be a great assembly of those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, an assembly of the righteous. So how wise to be in that group, how unwise, how foolish to carry on in unbelief. Now that raises two big questions. How can we be righteous? And how should we understand these Psalms as Christians? How can we be righteous? How do we read these Psalms as Christians? And I want us to think of how Jesus regarded the Old Testament scriptures generally and in terms of the Psalms. Now, he would have read this psalm. He delighted in the law of the Lord. You can do this, see, you know, read the New Testament, you find this, read the gospel accounts. And he perfectly kept what the law said. He assumed the Old Testament's historical truthfulness, where it was writing history. He taught its divine inspiration. He consistently affirmed the Old Testament's validity and authority. And let me just say, we as a church, no church should have a lower view of Scripture than the Lord Jesus, whom we follow and serve. Completely bizarre to me that people who call themselves Christians and say that Jesus is Lord then have a lower view of Scripture than their Lord does. And you see, God's Son, the Lord Jesus, shaped his whole life and ministry by the Old Testament. In all the muck of life. He knew loneliness. He knew opposition. He knew betrayal. He knew suffering and pain. He knew death. He knew everything we experience except sin. All the muck of life. And Jesus taught that all the Psalms are fulfilled in him, in his life and death and resurrection and ascension. We'll see this more next week, where Psalm 2 is so explicitly about him. So like all the Old Testament, the Psalms point forward to Jesus Christ, God's Son. So we must read these Psalms fulfilled in him. So let me ask that question. How can anyone be righteous now that Jesus has come? Jesus Christ is the perfect man. See, we may read this psalm and think, oh, well, I'm miles away from this. I've read my Bible this week. And I have fallen into sin. And I have listened to the counsel of the wicked. But Jesus Christ is the perfect righteous man. He perfectly keeps God's law. He loves his heavenly Father perfectly. And because he is the perfect righteous man, he's not part of the sin problem that affects you and affects me. You see, as sinners, we don't keep the law. But Jesus did. And so he can represent us, and he can die on the cross as our perfect substitute. And amazingly, he, the perfect righteous man, takes our sin upon himself. Here's a verse to meditate on this week. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 21. God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. So that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus dies taking our sin upon himself. He becomes sin. He takes our sin upon himself. And in a great exchange, which we're not going to explain now, but it's wonderful to believe, we are declared righteous. In Christ, every believer is righteous, declared righteous. And as you continue in life, as you walk with him, as we've been reminded by Alan over the last few weeks, as you walk with Christ, in Christ, you can live rightly. What a blessing. So how is your Bible input? Who are you listening to and following this week? Maybe you do follow Bible reading notes. Let's keep at it. We'll get back to it. Maybe you're trying to read through the Bible in a year or 2 years. Lots of Bible reading plans for the whole Bible online. Are we listening collectively as a church? Starts individually, ends collectively. The assembly of the righteous. Very important for us as a church going forward together, united in Christ. Every week, let me say, every week, delight in and meditate on what was taught on Sundays. This week, why not come back to Psalm 1? Maybe meditate on a verse a week. Suck on the sweetie of a verse a week. From September, growth groups are studying Ephesians. Why not start reading that now? Boy, wouldn't our growth groups be a real engine for growth in Christ if everybody's read Ephesians once a week? It'll only take a few minutes to do. But what blessing there would be as we delight in and meditate on that. Let me say that delighting and meditating in the word day and night, I don't think is so much about amount, actually, but attitude. Not amount, but attitude. Now, of course, we want to take in as much as we can, but attitude. Is it shaping all of our life? Let God's word shape us in every area that it covers. The blessing in family, in relationships, at work. It's fascinating that the law covered all of life, as does following Christ's teaching. Just think who you are in all the muck of life. So easy, isn't it, to fall into the poor old me feeling. So easy to think my identity and value and meaning come from what the unbelieving world values. But why not suck on the sweetie? That is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You and I are a new creation in Christ. Carry that with you through the week. So you're tempted by sin. So united to Christ, we can put to death whatever belongs to our sinful nature. Colossians 3 verse 5. It may be just a verse that you carry with us. Carry with you. Maybe you fall into sin. Delight and meditate on Romans 8 verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. Fantastic verse to meditate on every day. And to take in deep and suck on it and enjoy it. Another example, let's say you're mocked or ridiculed for believing and following Jesus and his word. And maybe you're being tempted to sit down in the seat of, you know, with the mockers. 1 Peter 4 verse 14. 1 Peter 4 verse 14. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So when unbelievers are mocking you, the spirit of glory rests on you. You person at school. You person at work. The spirit of glory rests on you. What reassurance that is. What blessing. Like a sweetie, you see. We're to suck on these verses. Through the day, and even at night. And I could go on. But verse 6 is a summary verse. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The first word of this psalm is blessed. The last word is perish. A million years into eternity, what will last? Not the way of those who don't follow and listen, to God's word. The young people who are just partying, that's the tragedy. Their life may be short and intense, but they'll be lost in judgment. How unwise that is. But in the assembly of the righteous, there'll be great blessing. Great blessing. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. That is now and, of course, in eternity. Just think of that. Meditate on that this week. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. As I walk in Christ, he's watching over me. Nothing can separate me from his love. So as we follow his word, that is the way of blessing. Let's pray. Father God, please help us this week, individually and as a church, to be those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who do not stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in your word. Please help us to read and meditate and reflect on, and to believe and to follow and to obey your word. And as we walk with and in Christ, to know great blessing in all the muck of life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.